Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears with you off and running on a getaway Friday, January 29th, 2021, the last Friday in the month of January. 15 minutes past the hour, and I'll be with you all morning this morning. Really through afternoon, 1 o'clock this afternoon, and we're going to have a great time today here on WWGH Radio because we have no guests lined up for the morning program here. We will have the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker from 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. later on today, and then we will have the Exchange Club from 12:15 to 1, and we'll see how that goes today. It's been a lot of fun the last couple weeks discussing current events and kind of hodgepodge topics on that show, so we will see by the time we get there at noon today where we are with that particular show. You know, I'm feeling a little accomplished this morning because I'm going to tell you a little story here. When we first moved into this building, it's been a while ago now, about 2 years ago. When we moved into this building, we brought a lot of equipment from the last building we were in. And you hook most of it right up because you use most of it every day. But there was a recording studio, is what we call it, where we record promos and things like that, that we never really hooked up because we really did not use it a whole lot in the last studio because we would record promos live instead of taping them. So we never hooked up this new studio when we moved here. And last Friday, I got the idea that we needed to hook up this new studio. So we hooked it up last Friday. And one of the pieces, one of the crucial pieces that makes it work, was broken. And I didn't know that till we tried to hook it up. It must have been damaged in the move, because I doubt anybody had looked at it since we moved here 2 years ago. So it could not be used, and it really could not be tested. And during the week, I mentioned to somebody that this piece was broken and we probably needed to replace this piece if we ever wanted to use this recording studio again. So last night, and I'm not sure who did this, but I have a pretty good idea who did it. I had a visitor over to my house, and as that person was leaving, I opened up the door, and there, sitting on the furniture outside of my door, was the old broken piece that, of course, no longer works, and a new piece in a package to use. So all night I'm thinking, I cannot wait to get to the studio tomorrow to see if this will work and everything will be hunky-dory and this thing will be back in business for the first time in 2 years. And I came in a little early this morning, hooked it up, and we are definitely back in business this morning. The recording studio is running again for all intensive purposes, and I am going... But see, here's the thing, much like everything else in life. there is a transfer service from one computer to another, because obviously this is a different computer than the main computer I use here. So if you tape something on this recording studio, you've got to transfer it to another computer so it can be heard over the air. Now, you could use a thumb drive or something like that, but the easiest way to do it is just to use the transfer service. Well, now that I've got the recorder up and running again, I have noticed that the transfer service is not working well. Now, that's more of a software issue. So I think that can be fixed as the day goes along, but I didn't have enough time to work on that this morning. But I'm glad to report as of now, not that anybody out there listening maybe cares about this. But the recording part of the studio now works again because the hard piece is fixed. But as far as transferring a file, I don't know if we can do that yet. I don't know if it just needs a software update or a new version of the software needs to be put on there. I don't really know what the issue is there, but hopefully we'll figure out as the day goes along. Now, I have another question here that I want to go on the record with about this whole computer. And I'm trying to think of the right way to say this. Now, when we hooked it up last Friday, because basically it consists of a monitor, a tower, a soundboard, and a microphone. That's basically all it is. And it worked fine at the old studio. Now, again, nobody had probably used it for 2 years. It just kind of sat here at the studio. Then we hooked it up last Friday, and it started to run again. The computer came back on, the monitor came back on, the soundboard came back on. Everything looked good. But that night, and it may have nothing to do with the computer at all, to be honest with you, but that night, there was a funny smell in the studio. And just so you think that I'm not nuts, I said to Angie, who was here last Friday night with me doing the program, I said, "Do you smell something funny in here?" And she said, "Yeah, it kind of smells like burning rubber," is what it kind of smelled like. So I'm thinking the only thing that's been changed in this studio is that computer being on. That's the only thing I can possibly think of. So, paranoid person that I am, when I left on Friday night, I turned that computer off, even though it would have automatically went to sleep after a certain amount of hours. I turned it off because, you know, this burning rubber smell was there. Now, it's been here every day this week, and at some point every day I have come in and turned it on, and I have not smelled that smell since last Friday, really. So, here's my question to you this morning, people who know more than I do. What do you think that burning smell might have been? And, you know, I'm going to leave this computer on today for 5 hours, because I'm here for 5 hours. And if the thing does not burst into flame in the 5 hours that I'm here, do you think that I'm safe? Because electronics can go funny on you at any time. We were having a little bit of an electronic issue here this morning, right before I went on the air. And why is it it's always right before I go on the air? Because at this time of the morning, it's hard to get somebody to help you fix a problem. Really. Because there's usually nobody else in the studio here at this time of the morning. So my question is how long... Well, first of all, what do you think that smell might have been? Now, again, I'm not even saying it was this computer. I don't know. It might not have been this computer at all. But what do you think that burning rubber smell might have been? And how long do you think I need to go leaving this computer on, not smelling that smell, to the point to where I can leave it on all the time like we used to? And it would just automatically hibernate after a few hours if nobody was using it. That's the question for today. If you have an answer to that question, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz and we can discuss this. Because, you know, I know a little bit about electronics, but as far as that sort of thing, I have no idea. It's like if a car is overheating or a car is making a smell, I might have an idea as to what's causing that problem, but do I really know? Probably not. Just like the battery issue I had, about a month ago now, I had no idea with that. And you know what? I never did jump my car. I never replaced the battery, and it still runs just fine. So it really must have been that corrosion on that one battery head that was causing the problem. So that's where we are as of now. Let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, you said there's a recorder attached to it.
It's a soundboard.
What is there any moving parts in it, like a belt or anything?
You know, in the soundboard, I don't think so. I think it's an all-electronic soundboard.
No. But I was going to say, you said the recorder. I right away I thought of like a reel-to-reel recorder with rubber belts in it.
Yeah, no, it's not a reel-to-reel. It's like a soundboard, kind of like the one I use here to operate the mics every morning. It's just kind of like that. And
well, there's got to be a motor in there.
Maybe. There could be, but I don't know if it's
got a motor and a fan, and the motor probably is separate from the fan, and the fan is run by a belt. That may be what your problem is.
Well, but the thing is, I don't hear anything in the soundboard, but the computer, I'm sure, has a fan and a belt in it. Now, that could have been the smell.
Yeah, if you've got a fan that's kind of sticking, you know, that's dirty or what have you, and putting extra stress on the belt could be slipping, and that's what you could be hearing.
Well, like I say, the computer had not been hooked up for probably close to 2 years when I hooked it up last Friday. But why do you... That smell only was there on Friday, and I've turned the computer on every day this week, and I have it on right now, and I don't smell
it. There's dust and dirt in there, more than likely.
So you think it just cleaned the dust and dirt out?
That's what I would say. Look at the back of it and see how dirty the fan is, how much dust is in there.
So you think that would cause a burning smell?
Oh, sure.
Well, I hope that's all it was. So do you think it's safe now to leave this computer on?
I would say it's fine, probably.
Yeah. Well, that's all I was worried about.
You didn't see any smoke or anything, did you?
What's that?
You didn't see any smoke or anything.
No, I never saw any smoke, and the computer wasn't, like, flickering or anything.
Yeah, you're probably good.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to leave. I've never left it on for 5 hours because I haven't been around for 5 hours to leave it on this week, but I'm going to be here 5 hours today, and I turned it on at about 7:50 this morning, so I'm going to leave it on until I leave after 1 o'clock today, and I figure if it doesn't burst into flame by then it's probably okay.
I'd look in the back of the computer and see if there's any dust or dirt in there.
Well, you know, like, I'm looking at it right now, and it's already went to sleep. Yeah, I'm not sure where the hibernation is set, but I think it's set at like 20 minutes. If nobody touches it, it'll go to sleep.
Well, you still got your cooling fan, though.
Right.
The fan probably still runs.
Right. Well, you know what? This relay system, I don't know if it just became outdated in 2 years and I just need to update the software or what it is, but you know, it's weird. It's weird because when I first turned it on last Friday... And I'm trying to remember right now. It was the first time I'd had it on in 2 years. When I turned it on, the relay system came up, and I think it said, do you want to update this system? Because a new update's available. And I didn't do it at that. Right, and I didn't do it because I was trying to get the computer set up itself to make sure it was going to work. But now it won't. The relay system won't connect at all, even though it did the first time I hooked it up.
Probably got firmware in there and needs updated.
Right, so I think I'm just gonna go to the website of the relay system that we use and just download the newest version and go with that.
You have to get your expert up there, Adam.
Well, you know, Adam, I mean, he certainly knows about these sort of things, but I think we're okay on this one, I think. Yeah, I think by the end of the day, this will be fixed, because during the next break, I'm going to see about that software, and the mic's working again. I knew that piece was broken. Nothing worse than a broken piece. Now, how do you store electronics so things don't get broken, like that little ends?
Probably good to put it in plastic, keep dust out.
Well, see, I'm not sure.
A plastic cover or a fabric cover, something to... Just something to keep the dust and dirt out.
Well, you know, I'm not sure what happened when we moved, because like I say, I don't know if somebody didn't pull the piece off and they left it connected to the soundboard. I'm not exactly sure what happened that caused the end to break off. But it's an inexpensive piece. It's like a $5 piece to replace it. But, you know, it certainly hampers you when you're up here on a Friday night trying to hook this thing back up and then you can't do anything. $5 piece or not. Well, I'll take a look at that fan during the break, and I'll see what's going on in there.
Alrighty.
Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye. All right, computer tips this morning here on WWGH Radio, 740-383-9944. Isn't this the way of the world now? All computers, all the time. And you've got to take care of them, every little piece, because anything can blow up. You know, I was talking one day this week with somebody, and it's funny how over-the-air radio stations are starting to have more problems. Now, this can probably be attributed to a lack of staff at places. Let's go to the phone lines. Go ahead, caller.
Morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Yeah, I got a question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Here a while back, Spectrum changed the system, and it went to the internet.
Right.
You got to hear it off the internet. Now, when you're sitting there watching a movie or a show or whatever, it freezes up and stops. Sometimes the sound goes on, sometimes it doesn't. But it might be off 5 minutes, it might be off an hour or two. Then that flash is flying on, saying we're trying to fix the problem. Well, it doesn't matter what station you got it on. When it freezes, it's done. You either got to switch to another station or whatever. Which I think that was the stupidest thing they could do, was switch to the internet. And then they took all them channels that was on Discovery, put them on Discovery Plus, and you got to pay $5 and up if you want to watch a show that you used to watch. And to me, that before, if you wanted a channel, you want to play Link, you got it. Now you got to play with the damn thing. And then the remote, they gave you what the new one. If you lose it or it gets damaged, it costs you $200. And I think that's kind of ridiculous trying to run, and now you can't get shows you used to watch without buying them. They freeze on you. Watching football games, they froze on us because football's got all of us. But when you get sit there and watch a movie without it freezing up on you or a show, it's ridiculous. It always having trouble with it freezing up. So anybody got any solutions, let them know.
All right, we'll see what we can figure out.
The picture stays on. It just freezes.
All right, well, let's see if anybody knows the answer to that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
Bye.
All right, well, see, now that's a common problem as well. You know, I'll tell you, the cable companies, and in our area, for the most part, it is Spectrum. I think the other companies don't call themselves cable companies. I think they call themselves Dish, like Dish Network or DirecTV, which I think are both still out there. I think the cable companies are in such trouble now because of smart TVs and because of the internet and because of Netflix and because of Rokus and things like that. I don't think the cable companies know what to do. I don't think they have the staff that they used to. I think they're just a mess. I think the cable companies are a mess. But is anybody else having the trouble that Bob just spoke about there, where you're trying to watch cable, if you have Spectrum, and I'm sure a lot of people do, and it freezes up? Or now they've upped your bill, $5 or whatever it is, trying to get you to buy more channels. You know, the cable company is different than any other. I guess it's because it's not a utility. You know, gas is a utility, electric's a utility, water's a utility. All of these things are utilities. But cable is not a utility. Cable is a service. And cable can charge you whatever they want. Now, of course, they're not going to charge $1 million because they want you to buy it. But cable is a master about trying to get you to sign up, get you in these package deals, and keep you there for 12 months, and then all of a sudden the breaks start falling off, the deals start falling off. Then your cable bill just progressively goes up, and it never goes back down. And, you know, that's one of the things that soured me on cable. I had cable for a long time. Cable TV was a big, big, big deal. You didn't want to be in a house that didn't have cable TV for a long time. And then eventually, internet came in. And I think internet has really hurt cable television. It's kind of interesting because the internet, the proliferation of the internet over the last 20 years, it's last 20 have been the biggest for the internet. Started a little earlier than that, but the last 20 have been the big years, especially when broadband came in. The internet has really, it's interesting because the internet has hurt newspapers immensely. Newspapers and magazines have either been put out of business or they have been to the point where they're online delivery now, or you get 3 or 4 pages of a newspaper because people can read it online. They can read the news online. If they can't get it from you, they'll get it from somebody else because there are so many avenues on the internet. So, you know, newspapers have been hurt extremely by the internet. But television also has too, because for the first time, you know, television really did kind of have a monopoly on that sort of service, a visual television service. You know, you had cable television, you had broadcast television, and that was really the only way you could watch anything, unless you had a VCR tape or a DVD player or something like that. There was really no other way to watch anything else. Now that's not the case. Now you've got the Roku, you've got services that are strictly on the internet, like Netflix and YouTube, television, and there are all these services that are strictly through internet. They don't have to go through the cable companies or the broadcast networks anymore. So that hurt television. But the one thing that internet did not really hurt was radio. Now, I'm not saying some damage hasn't been done. I'm sure it has. But radio seemed to pair up with the internet pretty well. All radio did was say, okay, well, the internet's here, so you used to only be able to get us over the air. Now you can get us on your cell phone. You can get us on the internet. You can pick up this stream anywhere, just like with this station. I think there are 3 different places you can get this station. So radio, it was not hurt as bad. And the reason radio still survives, because you got to remember, radio has always been around with newspapers. And then television came in, and radio survived the television boom. And then internet came in, and radio has survived the internet boom. And I think one of the reasons it survives all these booms better than other mediums is because it's the only medium you don't do with your eyes. Think about that. Radio is the only medium you do without your eyes. Now, this is not only for people who have lost their sight, but this is for people who can't read. This is for people who are driving a car and can't read something at that point. This is our look at something. This is if you're doing something at home, like washing the dishes or doing any activity that you have to look at it, and you can't look at the newspaper or look at the internet or look at the television. Radio is it. You don't have to do it with your eyes. And I've always said, whoever married the car to the radio was one of the smartest people who ever lived. Because not that people don't get out their phones in their car and watch things, because they certainly do. And not that people haven't put televisions in cars, because they have. But they're never really popular. You can't do it. And most of the time, the BMV and the law enforcement in states are not going to allow you to put televisions and phones in cars while you drive. But nobody cares if you have a radio on while you drive, because you don't do it with your eyes. And of course, you read the newspaper with your eyes, but not the radio. You can be sitting right now in an automobile of any kind, bus, semi, car, truck, whatever it is, and it's free. Internet or radio is free for the most part, over-the-air radio, and you don't have to use your eyes to do it. And you can pay attention to this as close as you can pay attention to a newspaper, television, or internet. It's really an interesting medium, radio. And radio is also the only medium that really allows us to talk. You know, this show could not be on television. This show could not be on the internet. This show could not be in a newspaper because it's interactive. I don't know what's going to happen here every morning. It's live. It's as it happens. It's people talking. That's why I never feel like coming in and saying ladies and gentlemen or, you know, things like that. You know, it's just the audience, people out there listening. So there you go. Does anybody have any thoughts on that? I think that's fascinating. Now, maybe that's just because I'm interested in broadcasting, but I think that radio, the fact that radio has been able to survive is fascinating, and I think it all goes back to the idea that it's the only medium you don't do with your eyes, and it's free. That helps, too. You can have zero money in your pocket, and as long as you have a radio or have gotten someone a radio somewhere, which isn't hard to come by, you can listen. And it doesn't cost you any money if you have it on 24 hours a day or 24 minutes a day. So that's a unique thing. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz and we can talk about that. Now, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about food, and I'm going to bring up something here, and I do not want anybody to Google this, because it is Googleable, I'm sure, but, and it's just a trivia question, and I'm going to tell, this is a trivia question with purpose. I don't think you can get these anywhere in town. And they're very good. And it's kind of like the old everything sauce. Does anybody remember the everything sauce that they used to make at the old hot dog stand on Main Street? And I'll tell you what I'm talking about here in a second. The everything sauce, which I have the recipe to, it doesn't really have measurements. So if you were to come to me and say, how do you make the everything hot dog sauce? I could not really tell you, because I could tell you what's in it. I could tell you the ingredients. Let me think. With the everything hot dog sauce, there is 1, 2, 3, 4 ingredients in the everything hot dog sauce. Now, I could tell you what the ingredients are, but if you've never had the everything hot dog sauce, you would have a hard time making it. Because it's not measurable. You just have to know what it tastes like, what it's supposed to taste like. So when you're mixing it up, you finally get to the point where you go, okay, yep, that tastes right. So this thing I'm about to talk about is kind of like that. And I have had these in the past, and I think tonight on the Friday night show, if I can get these ingredients brought in here, I might try this tonight, because it's a very cheap drink to drink. And you used to be able to get them at like soda fountains and things like that, but I don't think you can get them anywhere anymore. But they are very good. But again, it's all about proportion, and you can't mess the proportion up. And you could read on the internet what it says to put in it, but if you've never had one and you don't really get the measurements right, it's not going to taste right. But here's what I'm talking about, as I've circled the barn long enough this morning. A chocolate egg cream. A chocolate egg cream, which is a drink. Now, I'm not going to tell you the measurements that are supposed to be in a chocolate egg cream. And don't Google this. But I will tell you this. There are 3 ingredients that go into a chocolate egg cream. And it's a drink. Now, does anybody know the 3 ingredients that are in a chocolate egg cream? It's kind of interesting. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Does anybody know the 3 ingredients that go in to making a chocolate egg cream? By the way, has anybody ever had a chocolate egg cream? It's an interesting drink. I'm not even sure what you would say that it tastes like. But if you mess the ingredients up, again, it's all proportion. It's all proportion. If you get the proportion wrong, it's going to taste wrong. Because you can really mess that up. But we'll see if our caller knows here. Go ahead, caller.
Go ahead, caller. It wouldn't be chocolate, egg white, and cream, would it?
Chocolate, egg white, and cream. No, that's not it. But what kind? I'm going to be specific on this. What kind? There is chocolate in it, obviously. But what kind of chocolate?
Probably dark chocolate.
No, not dark chocolate. Oddly enough.
Oh.
No, but no, it's not eggs, and it's not cream.
Where does it get its name then?
You know, that's a weird thing. I bet that's on Wikipedia. I don't want anybody to look because it's going to tell you the ingredients. But you know what? I'll look. I'll find that out. I'll find where the name came from. But
okay.
It is odd because there are no eggs in it and there is no cream. So I'll look up right now and see how it got its name. So nobody Google that because I don't want you to get the ingredients. But there is chocolate in it, but it's not dark chocolate. Okay, so keep thinking.
All right.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, what three ingredients are in a chocolate egg cream? Does anybody know? Maybe I could sell these things. Now, I'm going to try to figure out how it got its name. Now, don't Google that because it's going to tell you the ingredients, and I really want to see if you can come up with the ingredients on your own. Okay, here we go. One theory as to how it got its name was that, I can't tell you because it has to do with the ingredients. So, I can't tell you. But I'll tell you after you can tell me the ingredients. It does have to do with the ingredients as to how it got its name. So, give me the three ingredients. 740-383-9944. And don't Google it. I'll know if you Google it. Because I don't know how many people around these parts really know what's in a chocolate egg cream. You might have had a chocolate egg cream, but you probably don't know what's in it. But if we guess together, I bet you can come up with it. What's in a chocolate egg cream? Now, there is a type of chocolate in it, but it's not dark chocolate. What's in a chocolate egg cream? Only three ingredients in a chocolate egg cream. And it's really an inexpensive drink to make. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and I will tell you if you're right or wrong. The ingredients in a chocolate egg cream. But what we know so far, it's not eggs, and it's not cream, and it's not dark chocolate. But there is a kind of chocolate in it, but it's not dark chocolate. Can anybody guess what kind of chocolate is used to make a chocolate egg cream? I bet you've probably had some in your house. I'm sure you probably have. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, it's interesting how it got its name. I have looked this up now, and I'll tell you about that as soon as we get the ingredients. But I can't tell you how it got its name because it has to do with the ingredients. So, but a weird way. Because you would think it would have eggs or cream in it, and it doesn't. So, what are the three ingredients in a chocolate egg cream? Is anybody going to be brave enough to guess this morning to tell me what the three ingredients in a chocolate egg cream are? Now, I've given you a little bit of a hint that one is chocolate, but I want to know the type of chocolate that you have to use. Because there are several types of chocolate. And if you use the wrong type of chocolate, this is not going to work. And remember, chocolate egg cream's a drink. So think about that. It's not a candy. It's a drink. So does anybody know the three ingredients that make up a chocolate egg cream? 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz as soon as we have the three ingredients. I will tell you how it got its name. Now, has anybody ever had a chocolate egg cream? Now, that's different than making one, because you could have had one at a restaurant, or like I said, they used to have them at soda fountains and places like that, lunch counters. It used to be a popular drink that way. So you could have had one and certainly not known what was in it. That's completely possible. But it's a refreshing drink, I'll say that. I mean, you have to like chocolate, but it's really not, the chocolate is not overwhelming. It's not like some other drinks where the chocolate is really overwhelming. So we'll lay this on the table for now, and don't Google, because if you come, I'm telling you right now, if you call in here after you've Googled, I'm clearly going to know you Googled, and we don't need that. Some people just can't stand it. Some people just can't stand not knowing the answer, so they have to Google it. Remember in the days before Google, where you actually had to know things? And that's what we're looking for here this morning. I'm telling you that there are three ingredients, and I'm telling you that one is chocolate, but I want to know the type of chocolate that you have to use to make a chocolate egg cream. 740-383-9944. 50 minutes past the hour here. Does anybody know the answer today? Let's see. What else is on the agenda? Think about that. Call in any time if you can guess the three ingredients in a chocolate egg cream. Here's something else I wanted to talk about, because it's another one of our continuing problems here on the morning show. Now, yesterday, we talked about legendary, well, I don't want to call him legendary because I don't think he is, but singer, let's put it that way, vocalist, John Mellencamp. Now, this started a week ago today. I don't even know how the John Mellencamp thing got started, but we were talking about John Mellencamp. It had something to do with chili dogs. We were talking about chili dogs. So there's a song where John Mellencamp mentions chili dogs. Now, the song is called Jack and Mike. And apparently everybody on planet Earth has heard this song, Jack and Mike. Now, at the time, that title did not strike a chord with me, because I thought, well, I don't think that title doesn't mean anything to me. I don't know that. And to be honest, I don't think I'd ever listened to the radio where I heard, okay, now here's John Mellencamp's hit, Jack and Mike. I don't think I ever heard that. So it took me until Friday night last week going home to hear this song. And then I realized that I do know the refrain, which the refrain makes no sense, by the way. It's just, the refrain makes absolutely no sense at all. Let's go to the phones. Go ahead, caller. Are you there, caller? Are you there?
It was Jack and Diane.
Oh, Jack and Diane. Jack and Mike was a whole different story.
These were straight characters.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, well, you know, I thought Jack and Mike maybe worked at a tool factory together or something. Who knows? Jack and Diane. You've got it right. Yes. Any more guesses on the chocolate egg cream?
Is it a dairy product?
Yeah, there is a dairy product in it.
Was it milk then?
What was that?
Milk?
Milk. Yes, milk is one of the ingredients. Milk.
Okay, so milk and chocolate.
Some kind of chocolate. But it's not dark chocolate. And then there's one other ingredient in it.
The milk chocolate?
Not milk chocolate. It's more about the delivery. But it's not milk and it's not dark.
Okay,
keep thinking.
But it's Jack and Diane.
We'll go further with this in just a second. Jack and Diane. Thank you. All right, yeah, not Jack and Mike, Jack and Diane. Okay, the song is called Jack and Diane, but we really have no idea why it's called Jack and Diane. So this is funny to me, because I don't know. Why the song's called Jack and Diane? You know what? I have listened to it now twice in the last week, and I get that I think it's about two people named Jack and Diane, but I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what the song is about, to be honest with you. It makes no sense at all. The lyrics, You know what? I might print the lyrics out during the break here and give you a little bit of this song because it makes no sense at all. It might sound good, but it makes no sense. So this all started last week with John Mellencamp. And then we learned that John Mellencamp, yesterday we just learned this. This is hot off the presses. We learned that John Mellencamp apparently now lives in Cambodia. Now, I'm not saying I know this for sure. This might all be internet rumor. But that John Mellencamp lives in Cambodia, and he's taken a bunch of his fans with him to Cambodia, and apparently they serve him over there. Now, I don't know if he's given live concerts over there for these fans or what. I don't know how they're living. I don't know where they're working in Cambodia. I don't know how you serve Jack or Jack and Diane. I wonder if Jack and Diane are there. I wonder if Jack and Diane have went to Cambodia with John Mellencamp. Boy, oh boy. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I'm going to take a wild guess on that. I really never heard of that chocolate egg cream. So what I believe would be in it, since I'm a gourmet cook, it would probably be Hershey's cocoa, and it would be milk and sugar.
You know, it's not sugar, but Hershey's cocoa is close. It's a product like that.
Oh, okay.
But you're getting close.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
We're looking for the ingredients of chocolate egg cream. Now, it's not dark chocolate, and it's not Hershey's cocoa, but there is a type of chocolate in it. Hershey's cocoa is very close. And there's milk. We've got milk. Milk is in it. And then there's one other item that makes up a chocolate egg cream. Does anybody know the other item that makes up a chocolate egg cream? And then I'll tell you how it got its name. But I can't do that until you tell me the three ingredients because it has to do with the ingredients. So call in at any time if you have the answer to that. 740-383-9944. Now, I wish I had the ingredients here. I'd make up chocolate egg creams right now. We have cups. I just don't have the ingredients. Now, this John Mellencamp. So he's in Cambodia, apparently, with Jack and Diane and Fred and Linda and Bill and Spencer and Phil and Marlo. You know, they're all in Cambodia for some reason. And they're serving him. And see, this goes to show you right here. We should have known years ago when he wrote this song, Jack and Diane. Did he write it or did he just sing it? I don't know. When he sang it. We should have known he was off his rocker because the song makes zero sense. Zero. It starts out talking about two people, Jack and Diane, but it makes, I don't know what they're doing in the song. Are they getting married? Are they young? Are they old? I don't know. And the refrain that everybody knows makes zero sense as well. And I wish I had it in front of me. If I was a prepared radio host, I would have the refrain in front of me right now, but I clearly don't, and you're going to have to wait till after the break. Unless somebody can call in and tell me what it is. What's the refrain? Not the whole song, but what's the refrain of Jack and Diane? Which is strange in and of itself, because Jack and Diane, the title is not in the refrain at all. It has nothing to do with them. Which is probably why that title did not strike didn't set a light bulb off in my head. But what's the refrain of the song Jack and Diane? I kind of remember what it is, but it makes no sense. I was trying to figure out, because I played it again last night after I learned that John Mellencamp was in Cambodia after listening to this show. And I'm trying to think, what in the world is, what does this refrain mean? You know, people sing it like crazy, but it means nothing. So if I get the refrain here, before we go to break here in a couple minutes, I'll explain why I think this is nuts. But John Mellencamp, here he is, in Cambodia, we think, with a bunch of his fans. Now, I'm telling you, do you know what that sounds like? That sounds like Jim Jones. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to turn into a Jim Jones type of thing. Because, you know, Jim Jones made them all drink the Kool-Aid and then he offed himself. And I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying, why in the world would John Mellencamp take his fans to Cambodia? Clearly, he has no security. But I doubt John Mellencamp ever needed security, to be honest with you. It's not like people were rushing the stage after he performed these little songs that he did. But it's weird. Has anybody checked to see if it's actually true? Because this came from a caller, and, you know, we Google everything now. I don't know if it's true or not. We're going to come back. The questions are, what are the three ingredients in a chocolate egg cream? One is milk. What are the other two? And we're going to talk more about this Jack and Diane thing and maybe other things. 740-383-9944. Back in 15 minutes.
A piece of baloney. Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving, for if we do, there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, whoever has the dream wins the piece of baloney.